Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking. Welcome back. Thank you for coming back to do some shift talking with me. As always, I am your host, Davina, and we're going to be diving into a special episode on navigating the unique challenges of the holiday season using the shift framework. I get that the holiday season is not here yet. I get how annoying it is when we're out at any store and we already see holiday merch out, and when it's like still 100 degrees out, it's still really hot outside. And it just doesn't feel appropriate. It feels like we're rushing to get to the holiday season. The reason I'm choosing to focus on the holidays right now is because everything that we do is in anticipation, expectation management, and preparation, and then, of course, prevention of the challenges that typically come up 3-4 months from now. So what I'm wanting to do is get a head start, give you a head start to the stressors that come up in the holiday season and start setting you up for as much success, joy, and rest as you possibly can achieve during a time that is so highly stressful. I'm trying to bring the joy back to the holiday season as opposed to all of the expectations that drown us, that make us forget what this entire season is supposed to be about. So, of course, the holidays can be a time of joy and closeness, which is what we're aiming for. They also bring up a tremendous amount of stress and tension, emotional challenges. In today's episode, we're going to explore how each aspect of shift, the self-awareness, healing, innovation, fortitude, and transformation can help you manage and thrive during that time of year. First, I'm going to share some of the most common stressors and how they can affect us poorly. Then we'll jump into the shift framework, and I'm going to leave you with actionable steps that you can start taking today in prevention, preparation, and resolution of the stress that comes with the holiday season. So, of course, I'm always going to bring in some stats here, right? According to the American Psychological Association, 38% of people surveyed said their stress increased during the holiday season. 38% only of people surveyed. Of the people that I survey on my own, we're looking closer to 70, 80, sometimes even 90% anecdotally on my end. And I'm definitely within there. So this stress, of course, is going to lead to physical illness, depression, anxiety, substance misuse, anger episode, poor reactions, poor communication, and then eventually, likely, some level of rift and distance within our family unit and extended families. So we have 7 top holiday season stressors that I'm going to list out, and then we will go through each of them one by one. We have financial pressure, time management, family dynamics, loneliness and isolation, health and well-being, travel stress, and unrealistic expectations. So the financial pressure is likely going to be around gift giving and holiday expenses, wanting to really give numerous expensive gifts or even just make this holiday season so magical. And what ends up coming from that is the expectation that we have to spend a lot. There's also the holiday expenses beyond the gifts, that are the costs of any travel, decorations, special meals, entertainment, certain outfits that we want to wear if we all want to be matching to take these photos. It's the cost of the photographer or buying a new camera. It's all of these things that are going to absolutely contribute to financial pressure and strain. And the American Psychological Association consistently finds that financial stress is a significant concern during the holidays, with many people worrying about money more during this season than any other time of the year. Next is time management. Between balancing work, family, and social obligations, we can get overwhelmed, and that will lead absolutely to stress from a packed schedule. Many people don't feel like we have enough time to get everything done, leading to feelings of anxiousness and, of course, that feeling of overwhelm. Family dynamics. So this is family tensions and expectations and traditions. So the holiday season often brings together family members who may not see each other regularly, which can, of course, rekindle nostalgia and really beautiful times together. It can also rekindle old conflicts and or create new ones. There can also be stress associated with meeting family expectations or adhering to traditions, especially if we find them to be outdated or don't currently align with our family dynamic. Next, we have loneliness and isolation. So this is the social isolation and the comparison that many of us find us falling within. For some, the holiday season accentuates feelings of loneliness, particularly for those who are single, live far from family, or have experienced recent losses. If we don't feel like we have a solid group around us, a solid community, whether it is family or friend, it's going to never be more obvious to us than during the holiday season when everyone's traveling to visit family or anticipating family visits. There's, of course, the good side of that, which means that you're not dealing with all of these dynamics, and we likely miss out or can feel like we are missing out on the closeness that comes of this as well. And then we get into the comparison, the social media cute bullshit about unicorns pooping cupcakes, and look at this happy, perfect family with all of our matching outfits lined up in a row based on age, on the staircase, doing all of this like fun stuff. The thing is, seeing those things on social media can absolutely amplify feelings of loneliness as we compare our own holiday experience to other seemingly perfect ones. We have to remember that, especially on social media, we are only seeing what everyone wants us to see. No one's putting the family bickering or the arguments or the drunk uncle or these types of things on social media. The arguing right before we take this family photo where everyone's screaming and running around the house, sweating and arguing and bribing their kids to just comply. We tend to compare our worst, most lonely experiences to everyone else's most joyous. And we forget that there is going to be shit in between that isn't ideal on both ends. All right, number five holiday stressor is health and well-being. The holiday season often involves overeating, excessive alcohol consumption, and disruptive sleep patterns, which are, of course, going to negatively impact our physical and our mental health. And then some people, like myself, tend to cope with holiday stress by overeating, by eating unhealthy foods, by indulging, by kind of eating our feelings. And this type of activity, right, is going to contribute to long-term challenges. We are talking not about like a day or two of overindulging. If we're going from Halloween to New Year, we are talking about a solid 2 months of eating poorly, drinking other substances, staying up too late, waking up too early. Our entire system is going to get kind of rocked around that time. Number six is travel stress. So not just the expenses of travel, but just the experience of the crowded airports and roads and the logistical challenges that get in our way. So we are talking crowded airports, delayed flights, heavy traffic, coordinating our travel plans, dealing with weather-related delays, navigating unfamiliar places. Even the smoothest of these can still be stressful, can still make us wonder why the fuck I keep doing this every year and regret it. So we're going to be talking about different ways that we can manage this, even when things do go more ideally, what to actually do about them to reduce the amount of stress that I experience on my own. And number seven, unrealistic expectations. I believe that this is the umbrella that all of the other ones fall within. When we're talking about creating the perfect holiday and societal expectations, our finances, our travel, our expectations to have a lot of people around us, our time management, these types of things are all likely to fall within some level of expectation that gets failed. Many of us put pressure on ourselves to create the perfect holiday experience, which of course, when we are comparing to perfection, we are inevitably going to experience disappointment and stress when things don't go as planned. So we want to put a lot of emphasis on adjusting those expectations, not lowering them, just adjusting them to be a bit more realistic. And then, of course, the comparison and societal expectations that come with media portrayals of the holiday season. It sets unrealistic standards that are difficult to meet that contribute to feelings of inadequacy. And when we feel inadequate within ourselves, that is going to carry everything else with it too. It will bleed into every other aspect of our lives. So as we go into the shift kind of framework, I want us to really understand a little bit more about how stress impacts anger and vice versa. So there's both correlation and causation that I want to go through with you here now. So the correlation between stress and anger has to do with shared physiological responses, emotional amplification, and cognitive load and impulsivity. So within the shared physiological responses, both stress and anger activate the body's fight or flight response. This leads to increased heart rate, blood pressure, and the release of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. And then we take in the emotional amplification. Stress can amplify emotional responses, making us more prone to anger. When under stress, we have a tendency to have less patience and a lower threshold for frustration, leading to, of course, increases of irritability and anger. And the last correlation between stress and anger has to do with cognitive load and impulsivity. Stress increases our cognitive load, which can impair our decision-making and self-regulation. This can lead to those impulsive behaviors like angry outbursts, the binge eating, breaking our diet, having just one more drink, if not seven. A lot of these things where we almost get a case of the fuck it's because I am carrying so much cognitively. My mental load is so heavy. I don't have the bandwidth for anything else. So I'm going to not have the bandwidth to keep myself more patient, regulated, consider my dietary choices, consider my emotional kind of regulation, and likely act in impulsivity across the board. The American Psychological Association also reported that stress impairs cognitive functions, which can lead to more frequent and intense expressions of anger, especially in situations perceived as threatening or overwhelming. Notice that threatening and overwhelming are used almost interchangeably, yet we would oftentimes describe those differently. But to our nervous system, to our entire being, those two things, the threat and the overwhelm, tend to register quite similarly. And then we get into the causation of how stress leads to anger. And we have perceived threat and appraisal, reduced emotional regulation, and frustration-aggression hypothesis. So the perceived threat and appraisal is basically saying that stressful situations are often perceived as threats, which can trigger anger as a defensive response. And this is particularly true when individuals feel they lack control over the stressor or perceive it as unjust. And that, of course, will contribute to reduced emotional regulation. The chronic stress depletes the brain's resources for that regulation, particularly in the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for managing emotions and impulses. That's the part of the brain that's directly behind your forehead. This depletion makes it harder to control anger. And finally, we have the frustration-aggression hypothesis. This psychological theory basically suggests that frustration, often being a byproduct of stress, leads to anger and potentially aggression. When stress leads to unmet expectations or blocked goals, it can result in that frustration, which then, of course, triggers anger. What we recognize is that the relationship between stress and anger is both correlational and causal. Stress often correlates with increased anger due to shared physiological responses and the impact of that cognitive overload, that mental overload. And then stress can lead to anger through mechanisms like the perceived threat, reduced emotional regulation, and frustration. It is so important, you guys, that we understand the dynamic that's essential for developing all of these types of poor habits and then developing effective strategies for the anger management and stress reduction. We need new and different interventions if we're actually going to be able to reduce the intensity of the holiday stress leading into anger and fractured relationships. So now we're going to go into the shift framework. Self-awareness is going to be about recognizing what triggers your stress during the holidays and being able to identify them very clearly. Is it the family dynamic? Is it the financial pressures? Is it the expectations of the season? Is it the expectations of my family, friends, partner, children, whatever it might be? Or a combination of all of those, which is, of course, again, extremely common. So what I'd like for you to do here is to take a few minutes to reflect on your previous holidays. What situations, interactions left you feeling drained, anxious, upset, angry, frustrated, overwhelmed? Either list it out, you can journal it out more in paragraph form, or you can do what's called a mind map. It's a more visual representation of these types of things, and I'll link an example in the show notes. I found a lot of people who tend to be more visual learners and more creatives tend to like to see something that's more mapped out where we can understand what's contributing to what in a more visual way. So again, I'll link that in the show notes for you if you'd like one of those templates. What we want to do once we identify these triggers, we want to recognize what has worked for you and what hasn't in the past. And with that comes, what do we want to try differently? And once you've identified this, you can start to develop strategies to manage them. This is going to look like setting boundaries, adjusting expectations, or just planning differently to prevent the last minute stress. Our H is healing. In the context of the holidays, it's going to be about forgiving past holiday bullshit. The holidays often bring up unresolved emotions and memories, especially if we had past experiences that haven't been the most positive. Healing is about putting down that past bullshit and finding a way to enjoy it regardless. So remember, I am not a fan of the let it go model. I do not believe that anything gets let go, especially in the way that it's used these days. When people say let it go now, they basically suggest that you just don't feel it, that you not be affected by it, that it not do anything to you. And it is just so deeply impractical. It's toxic positivity and gaslighting. So what I want us to be focusing on is intentionally putting it down. And while you might think that I'm getting caught up in the semantics here, words matter. And how we view those words and what definition we attach to those words and phrases and terms is going to determine what I feel about it. So I don't want this to be something where it's almost like this visual of, okay, I've received this, right? Like I've caught this ball, but I should just let it go. And we just drop it. But we don't know who threw it. We don't know what it's made out of. We don't know the impact that it had. Did it jam your finger when you caught it? Were you prepared for it? My way of viewing this is by consciously, intentionally placing it down. So after you've caught it and you've determined who threw it, you've assessed for any injuries along the way, you've been able to really feel it out and see what shape and form it takes, you can then choose to place it down. And there's a massive difference between the two. We have to start by acknowledging your feelings without judgment. And then we work on releasing those past hurts, whether it is through forgiveness, doing some work with me, simply deciding to focus on the present. Regardless, what we have to remember is that this level of healing, moving past the previous bullshit, is genuinely a gift that you give yourself. Call it foofy, because even me saying that felt really foofy for me. What it really means, though, is that I am the one who suffers here. I am the one who's still hanging on to this, who's holding on to this. And now my experience going into the holidays, my stress, my overwhelm, my poor expectation management, these types of things are really only affecting me and mine, my ability to manage the stress, my heart rate, my health, my impulsivity. And anyone who was the cause of this may not even be experiencing that at all. You don't have to be the only one to carry this. And even if others are carrying it, you don't have to continue. You are allowed to choose to place it down and make room for new, more enjoyable experiences and memories. By forgiving some of this past holiday bullshit, it allows you to enter this holiday season with a lighter heart and a more open mind, more bandwidth to manage your stress and regulate your emotions. So our I, our innovation, during the holidays is going to likely come around our communication. We're going to need new ways to connect with loved ones and, of course, set some expectations and boundaries along the way. Communication is going to be key to navigating holiday interactions smoothly. The innovation here means finding new and different ways to connect and communicate, especially if old patterns just aren't serving you. When we did our S, our awareness, right, you likely recognized what behaviors you've engaged in the past and why those didn't work for you. And so now that's directly where we come here and say, okay, these are the patterns that didn't work for me. This is what I was trying to achieve, though. So here is a new and different thing that I can try this year. It's all about trial and error and knowing that I can be in control of myself and make these choices for myself, and I'm allowed to set boundaries where needed. Setting boundaries often feels uncomfortable, and they are essential to maintaining your peace. So what we do is we work to be clear, be kind, and be firm about what we can and cannot handle during this busy time. Oftentimes, our discomfort around boundaries, it tends to kind of get a lot of weight on the actual sharing of them, of the actual expression of them. And while that can, of course, be uncomfortable and scary for us, what we're finding is the most uncomfortable part is just dealing with the person receiving them, either dealing with their pushback on it and resistance to comply to them, or our inability to hold their discomfort in what we've shared, and just not wanting anyone to feel uncomfortable, not willing to sit in the discomfort for the time being so that we can get to a future that we're actually trying to achieve. When we don't set boundaries, we actively choose short-term comfort in exchange for long-term dysfunction. So what I'm suggesting is that we switch that. We allow for and embrace and expect short-term discomfort for long-term positive functioning. And I know how challenging this really can be to set these boundaries, use the right language, be mindful of our tone, our volume, our intensity, our body language. So I've actually created a full resource for you. I'm going to link in the show notes that you can actually just plug and play. If anyone within my age range or higher, older, is listening, then you might have remembered these game called Mad Libs, where the entire script is laid out for you and you just plug in these articles within it. So that's exactly how I like to create my scripts. I create most of the story, most of the content for you, and then you just plug in what works for you. So I hope you find those helpful. Again, they're in the show notes. If you need any additional, I have a ton of scripts within my resource library on my website. Now we go into the fortitude, that staying steady amid the holiday chaos. So within the holidays, fortitude is going to be your ability to stay steady and grounded, even when the chaos threatens to overwhelm you. This is all about resilience and mental strength. It's staying connected and emotionally regulated. So in order to build that mental strength, we need to prepare ourselves by setting realistic expectations and practicing our self-care. This could include mindfulness exercises, regular physical activity, or simply just taking time to do some breath work and reset. To help you stay even more steady, I've curated a list of products that can support your mental and emotional well-being during the holidays. You'll find these linked in the show notes, but I want to, of course, go through them with you in case you want to do some research on your own. So I have put together 5 products here. I might add more after this episode's recorded, but regardless, you will have a minimum of 5. And those are the omega-3 fatty acids, which particularly with EPA and DHA have been clinically proven to show reduction of symptoms in anxiety and depression. And adding just 3 more servings per week of these omega-3s can decrease your aggression by 28%. It's incredible. And this study actually really focused on children as well. So if we can sneak in some more of those omega-3s for ourselves and the people around us, we're all likely to experience some benefits of reduced aggression. Next is ashwagandha, which is an adaptogen that helps the body cope with stress. It helps us regulate our cortisol levels and support overall adrenal function. There was actually a study published in the Indian Journal of Psychological Medicine that found that ashwagandha supplementation significantly reduced stress and anxiety levels in participants who continued it for 60 days. this, again, guys, is why I'm putting out this episode so early before the holiday season, so that you have enough time to start incorporating these strategies and the supplementation before the holidays get here. So then once they are here, you'll feel completely set for success. Third, we have magnesium, which plays a crucial role in the body's stress response, reducing anxiety and irritability and improving overall mood. There are different types of magnesium, and you'll see that in the show notes. So I will have multiple options in there for you, but I do want you to kind of just keep magnesium on your brain. Pun intended. Next is an amino acid called L-theanine. It's found mainly in green tea, but it promotes relaxation without causing drowsiness. Studies have shown it reduces stress responses and improves mental clarity in those exposed to stressful situations, i.e. us in our daily life now, and of course around the holiday season. And finally, our last, research shows valerian root can be used to promote relaxation, improve sleep quality, and reduce symptoms of anxiety. So managing our stress and anger involves a combination of daily habits and supportive supplements. While practices like mindfulness, breathwork, and moving your body are effective to mitigate stress and improve emotional regulation, and adding supplements proven to address the physiological aspects of stress and anger can be an absolute game changer for us. Please remember, I am not a medical professional. I am not a dietitian. I am not a nutritionist. I am not a holistic medical provider. These are available over the counter. What I've done here for you is basically consolidate research and share their findings with you. I am not suggesting that you take any or all of these. I'm purely sharing that they have been proven to benefit us. Before you start any new supplementation, please make sure that your body and mind are going to be okay to take them. Consult with a medical professional when considering taking new and different supplements. I am not the one. I am not a medical professional. Disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. And lastly, we get to our T, our overall transformation, which is just so deeply exciting, you guys. Turning holiday stress into personal growth opportunities. This is our evolution. This is where we get to say that last season, last holiday season, if it was tumultuous or stressful or whatever, was the very last that I'm going to experience of that level. We will still experience drama and chaos and conflict and stress and overwhelm and reactions and aggression and poor emotional regulation. And my goal for you is that this holiday season and everyone after that, you experience a bit less. Transformation is all about challenging ourselves. The holidays, with all of their ups and downs, are the perfect time to practice this. And I really want to share with you my experience of putting this entire shift framework into practice. I was a very rebellious child and teen. I became, and I'd imagine I carried, some narratives within my family units as kind of being that wild card. And what that ended up coming with was typically narratives of not quite being very responsible, of being more of a drinker, which I used to be, of being more of a partier, and, you know, just different. So what I've noticed is that as I've done so much of this work and I have become this professional in this space, I tend to have a really big divide between the professional, you know, more healed version of me and the one that I am at home for the most part. And then this version of me that gets transported back in time when I'm with my family. And it's not because they are necessarily doing anything wrong. There's just, I'm in familiar households that I was in as a child. I'm with familiar people. I'm with people that I only am with around the holiday season and for major events, right? So these types of things are going to bring in certain narratives, certain memories, experiences, and again, kind of transport us back into these previous roles that maybe we don't align with anymore. These narratives that no longer match who I am now. And so now I want to share with you, and while it wasn't a holiday season, it was still a massive family gathering that I had recently. And I oftentimes make myself small in family gatherings because of the way that I used to be, the way that I used to engage, my discomfort, my kind of social awkward anxiety-ish that comes through, and kind of forgetting who the fuck I am when I'm around people who have seen me at my worst, right? So typically, whenever there is, of course, family conflict that arises, I tend to shy back from it. I tend to disengage from it. And what I did this last time was observe a conflict happen within my family members and kind of could feel that natural pull for me to pull back and just like, don't get involved. There's always a fear of me being perceived as a know-it-all or being everybody's therapist. So I typically, again, pull back. This time I saw this happen and I saw the discomfort that appeared on my family members' faces. And I had this kind of moment for myself where it was very much like, fuck that. This is so silly. Why am I not being who I am just because of how I'm related to them? It just seems silly to me. And given I'm not walking up to strangers on the street and saying, hey, how can we talk and repair this? But this is my family and it affects everyone around me. And if I can have any sort of impact on reducing fractures, I want to be able to do that. And so what I did was not get involved when things were kind of heated. That was not my place at all. But what I did do is recognize that once these people separated, I went to the individual in my family who I perceive as feeling the most isolated within our family unit. And I went to them and said, hey, do you want to go for a walk? And we went for a walk, we shared, and I could feel them not expressing things to me in the same way. They are of the generation above me, my parents' generation. And what I picked up on is this kind of natural distance that comes of keeping our parents and their generation's problems separate from that of their children's generation. And what I did this time, which is very different than what I've ever done before, was point blank share that. And I said something similar to what I'll share with you now, and I think maybe even quite verbatim in certain parts, which was, I know you have known me since I was conceived, and you have watched me grow from being this child into the woman that I am now. And I still think that sometimes you still view me as that little girl. And as we are aging, I want you to remember that I am also a woman in my mid-30s who has been in a committed relationship for 12 years. I am married to my husband for 8 years. We share 2 children. My husband and I have been through so much shit together. And this is what I do for a living. This is what I've been able to make my career out of. And I absolutely love it. And I would really love if we could work harder to view each other as adult peers instead of this kind of family relationship that we have. And I don't want to be viewed as like this little girl anymore. I want you to see that you have an ally in me and that I support you and I love you and I'm here. If you are open to kind of evolving our friendship outside of this family relationship that we have. And the response I got was beautiful. It was so warm and welcoming and validating. They gave me acknowledgement of the fact that yes, they do tend to view me as this younger girl and that they would be interested and want to enhance our relationship and have more of an adult friendship. And it really just changed the entire dynamic. Once I addressed that, as uncomfortable as it was, we were able to have a different kind of conversation about the conflict that transpired, you know, 20 minutes prior, and about just their overall life experiences, life satisfaction, marital distress, these types of things. And it really transformed what we have. And I am so grateful for it. I'm proud of myself for not letting myself fall within this narrative that kind of typically exists and also lean in where I felt discomfort, where I was fearful of falling within a new and different narrative, which is being nosy and like, stay the fuck out of this. This isn't your business, right? And that wasn't the experience I got. And I'm so grateful for that experience, for that opportunity, and for all of this work that the Shift framework has really allowed for me to do within my own healing and evolution. So I encourage you, instead of dreading the holiday stress, I want you to please start seeing it as a chance to evolve. Set intentions for how you want to grow, whether it's being more patient, more present, or more forgiving. And remember, every challenge here is an opportunity to rise. So today, in our longest episode yet, we got to explore how to navigate holiday challenges using the Shift framework of self-awareness, healing, innovation, fortitude, and transformation. Each of these elements can help you not just survive the holidays, but absolutely thrive within them. Thank you for joining me on this special holiday episode of Shift Talking. Remember, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I'll see you next time.